So as advanced Christians, we know God. Yada knowledge, not just head knowledge. We actually have experience with God, and we have what? A relationship with God. Amen?
Amen,
amen, amen. Amen. So we know God, and so we're expected to act like we know God, and we're supposed to act like we know the big what?
G
God, the O-G God. Before we were here, he was here. Before anything we know about was here, he was here. The big G God, not the what? Not the little G God. You're supposed to relax. You're supposed to let go in time of trouble, knowing he's your shelter and your strength, if you really serve a big G God. You should have corrected me, Pastor. Not a big G God, the big G God. Amen?
Amen.
The OG. Amen. I'm going to call this message the big G God unplugged. The big G God unplugged, because God has something on his mind that he wants to say, and he's not going to hold back. Amen?
Amen.
We're going to learn a little bit more about our God today, because he's going to be unplugged.
Amen.
Amen. And advanced Christians, boy, when they hear, oh, God speaking? Oh, my goodness. I got to be there. Matter of fact, I got to be early. I got to be close up, not way back in the back. Amen? And I can't wait. What God is speaking, I can't wait to see what he's going to say. Hallelujah. Amen. I don't know if you're going to listen to the State of the Union address from President Trump. The President Trump, I was told yesterday by somebody, not my president. He's the president. He is the president. Amen, amen, amen. And guess what? We're still going to be in the book of Psalms. How about that?
Amen.
Anybody ready for some more Psalms?
Amen.
Uh-huh. We had a lot of that Proverbs, and now we're all in the Psalms learning all this good stuff. Amen. Let me just tell you this, though. It's not your typical psalm. We're going to be in Psalm number 50. And it is not going to read like your typical psalm. This is going to sound much more like a prophetic writing with a prophetic tone and the authority to go with it. Amen?
Amen.
Psalm number 50. Amen. Psalm number 50. Amen. This is a beautiful psalm. It's powerful. This is not your typical psalm. Amen. This is not David asking for help or David singing and playing the harp and saying, so this is the day that the Lord hath made for some victory. No, 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 no. This is a different kind of psalm. This has got a prophetic tone and prophetic type content. And I want to look at verses 1 through 6 initially. We're going to touch on a few little parts of it, and it looks like I have time to handle the business. This is the advanced class, and this is going to be like a Bible study, even though I might get excited. I don't plan to get excited and all riled up, but just know it could happen. I think you have experience with that. And so I want to first look at the verses 1 through 6 so we can get a sense for where he's going with this, a little bit of the background for where he's going with this, but I must take verse 1 alone to begin with. Are you going to go there with me?
Amen.
So I want all of verses 1 through 6, but I first, I can't help myself but to compartmentalize a little bit and handle this verse number 1. I'm excited about it. I hope I'm not by myself. But then again, I can be excited because I already know where he's going. I hope when you get there with me, you're excited too.
Amen.
So let's read verse number 1 together. The mighty God, even the Lord, hath spoken and called
the earth.
Keep going.
The rising of the sun to the going down thereof.
So you've heard songs from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, which makes it sound better. But you read it and it sounds like, oh yeah, what's the Bible? The mighty God, even the Lord, hath spoken. But look at what he does. It says, and called the earth, this is this whole globe, right? From the rising of the sun, meaning from the east to the west. In other words, he is calling, he's summoning all of the earth. Amen?
Amen.
Who but God could have that kind of authority? So this is the tone. This is what we're starting out with. He says, the Almighty, the God, the mighty God, even the Lord. I mean, that this is unbelievable authority. So you just got to get a clear picture in your head of who is doing this and the amazing awesomeness of what he is doing. Who has authority like that? And the other thing I want to point out is this, the mighty God, even the Lord. That English translation is nice, but at least for me, it doesn't do it justice. When I go back into the Hebrew, it's El Elohim Yahweh. El Elohim Yahweh. Why is that so awesome? Because El means what? El means God. El Shaddai. The Almighty Shaddai God, all right? And we can go with Elyon, all those other sorts of translations of sort of the name of God, naming God based on what he is or what he does. El actually means God. However, when you say Elohim, which also means God, it is sort of the title of God. It means this person, Elohim doesn't mean our God automatically. But it means a God. It's a title of God. But when you put El in front of it, it means mighty God. So you've got three words essentially that relate to God doubling down on top of each other. El Elohim Yahweh. Now, who is Yahweh? Jehovah. That is the eternal God, the self-existing one, the one true and living God. So here's the point. If you wanted to get any clarity, you couldn't get more clear about the fact that the one who's calling, who's summoning the earth and all in it from east to the west, the entirety of it is the one true big G, O-G God. Amen. You just need to know who's about to talk to you. The big G God, the one God, the one true God. Amen. And I just love the way in the Hebrew, it's just El. If that's not enough, Elohim, and just so you're not confused, Yahweh. Oh, I got goosebumps. I'm about to hear from the God, the creator of everything. Would I pay for a ticket to that? You better believe it. Would I give up my whole paycheck? You better believe it. Would I be there on time? You better believe I'd be there early. What? You better believe I'd be on the front seat, the front row. So this is, just to set it up, I had to stop. You need to. We can't read past this and just keep on going. The children of Israel are about to hear from the one, El Elohim Yahweh. Whoa, that's some heavy stuff. So are we clear on who we're about to hear from? Are we crystal clear on who we are about to hear from? All right. So now let's read verses 2-6 and see what God has to say. Read with me. Out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God hath shined. Our God shall come, shall not keep silence. Keep going.
A fire shall devour before him, and it shall be very tempestuous.
Tempestuous,
He shall call to the heavens from above.
Yes, and to the earth, that he may judge his people.
Gather my saints together unto me.
Yes.
Those that have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. And the heavens shall declare his righteousness, for God is judge himself.
Selah. So there's a refrain, there's a pause here, because that's a mouthful. You should pause. I think it's clear as we read this that this is some serious business. So God is speaking, and we know who we're talking about, the big G God, right? The OG, the original one, the self-existent one, El Elohim Yahweh. You want a middle, your first, middle, and a last name? Let's call him El Elohim Yahweh. Amen?
Amen.
And he begins to speak, and as you listen to him speak with this authority, it's pretty clear that there is some serious business that he's about to break down. And it's also clear that maybe, just maybe, it's not good news. Maybe it might not be good news, but I want you to pay attention. I want you to think about a good parent. It sounds like he's got some maybe not so good news. But notice all of the terms of possession that you see. He says a lot of my people, right? Your God. He uses a lot of those terms of connectedness. So understand that while what he's saying here sounds very ominous and sounds very awesome, understand that we're talking about his people and our God, and he says my people and he is my God. So understand, as we listen to him, and he is the Yahweh, he is the El Elohim Yahweh, but he's also our El Elohim Yahweh. So whether he is about to praise us, or whether he's about to correct us, or whether he's about to tell us we need to make a change, we just heard the song, you know, I won't go back. Well, you don't know to turn around and go back if nobody tells you you're going in the wrong direction. If nobody fixes you up and turns you around and places your feet on solid ground, you have to know you needed a change. Amen? Amen, amen, amen. So we're going to hear some, you know, this is pretty serious stuff, and we're going to see what he has to say now, because he said a mouthful so far. Amen?
Amen.
And so we're going to look at verse 7 as God begins to actually really tell you what he wants you to know. First, he's telling you, I'm going to judge my people. God shall come. There's going to be fire like a storm in front of him. And now let's go to verse 7. Let's read that.
Hear,
O my people, and I will speak, O Israel. Keep going.
And I will testify against thee. I am God, even thy God.
So I'm your God, but I'm about to testify against you. This is not good news that we're about to hear the God of the universe tell. Amen?
Amen.
Not good news. God is not happy here. And now we're going to find out what he's not happy about. If your God was unhappy with you, would you want to know why?
Yes.
Would you want to hurry up and fix it?
Yes.
But you got to know why first, right?
Amen.
So he's saying, I belong to you and you belong to me, but I am not happy. And so now we're going to see what he's not happy about. So let's read verse 8, please, for me.
I will not reprove thee for thy sacrifices or thy burnt offerings to have been continually before me.
So he's letting you know I'm going to judge you. But let me tell you what I'm not going to judge you about. Your religion is on point. Your religion is continually before me. You give the sacrifices exactly what I say you're supposed to, exactly the way I tell you you're supposed to. There's no question about that. Your sacrifices unto me come when they're supposed to come and how they're supposed to come. So I'm ready to judge you. I've got an issue with you, but your religion is on point. Your religious performance, your religious rituals are just as they are requested. Amen?
Amen?
He is not upset because they failed to perform their religious duties. They are right on point there. But in spite of their religious performance, in spite of dotting all the I's and crossing all of the T's religiously, never missed a service, always there on Sunday, doing their job that they were asked to do in the services and giving all of the sacrifices as prescribed. In spite of all that, God has something to say, and he says it beginning in verse 9 and 10. So let's look at 9 and 10. Read those for me.
I will take no bullock out of thy
house, nor
he goes out of thy fold.
Yes.
Every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon a thousand hills.
Uh-huh. That sound familiar to you? Now, in what context do we use the cattle on the thousand hills? The context that we use it in is, hey, I know I got all kinds of money coming to me. I got all kinds of material things coming to me. I don't have to worry. Why? Because my father owns the cattle on a thousand hills. We use that scripture in the context of prosperity preaching. Do we not? What's the real context? The real context ain't about, oh, you gonna have so much. The context is God is saying, I know you do all these rituals, and I know that the law, the letter of the law says for you to do it, but guess what? I don't want your stuff. I don't want your animals. I don't even want your sacrifices. Ah, technically, yeah, I know you're supposed to do it, but I need you to understand I'm not happy. I'm letting you know I don't even want all that stuff that you're so proud about giving me. When you're supposed to and how you're supposed to. And guess what? I own a cat. I don't need your cattle. I got a cattle on a thousand hills. All these are mine. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Woo. You got all your ritual sacrificing going down, but you got it twisted. You started thinking that you're doing God a favor. With your little sacrifices, with your little, in our case, tithes and offerings and whatever you do for the church or through the church. You think you're doing God a favor. And they got so extreme about it. They got so used to it, so accustomed to doing it, so feeling good about it. Because God had been silent. He ain't going to be silent no more. But he'd been silent. So when God is silent, you think you're doing good. You assume you're doing good. Silas is taking his affirmation. He said, I ain't going to be silent no more. You've been doing all this religious stuff. You know, you got it twisted. You think you're doing me a favor. You done got to the point to where you think that I need your sacrifices. You done got to the point to where you think that you need, that I need you to feed me. That sounds like a little G-God. You done got to the point to where you think I'm like one of those. Really? Pay attention to what God cares about. Pay attention. Amen?
Amen?
You can't give God, just like you can't give me, what already belongs to me. Amen?
Amen?
And God does to us just like we might do with a child. You give a child some money or you give a child some food, and then you try to teach them to be generous, and then they give you some back of what you already gave them. They didn't do anything. I was FaceTiming with my granddaughter last night, and she was trying to feed me through the phone, and she was feeding her daddy, her father, but she got the sandwich she was trying to feed us from her mother. Amen? She wasn't giving away anything that belonged to her. She was already given it, but you can get it twisted. And they had gotten it twisted. And we also can get it twisted. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. I could have said this is all about tithes and offering because as it pertains to us, that might be true. Or church service, meaning your service in the church, right? Or on behalf of God. You can start to think you're doing him a favor. You can start to think that he can't survive without you. Amen?
Amen.
So he's not done. Let's look at verse 11. I know all the fowls. He's not aware of them. He knows all the fowls of the mount. Go ahead. So now I should have combined 9, 10, and 11 because what he's really saying here is whether it's in the forest, whether it's in the mountains, whether it's in the open plain in the fields. And he could have also said if they're flying in the air, guess what? Anything among all the animals that you will sacrifice to me that you think belong to you, so you doing something, belong to me. So I need you to stop and recognize that you're not doing me a favor. You're actually just using what I gave you to give to me, which should be about relationship, shouldn't be about duty and dotting I's and crossing T's. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So, and just in case we haven't gotten his point fully, Read verses 12 and 13. Somebody read it already. He's laughing, uh-huh. Read verses 12 and 13. We're going to see what God's really working his way up to. Go ahead.
If I were hungry, I would not tell thee, but the world is mine, and the fullness thereof. Will I eat the flesh of wolves, or drink the blood of goats?
You can't give me something that's already mine. So you should feel good that I even asked for you to do these rituals to me, but you can do them so well for so long that you think you get so impressed with your religion and your service and get impressed with yourself that the bigger you get, we say more of you and less of me. Well, you can get to going so good for so long, for so smooth, that you can actually slip into more of me and less of thee. It can happen. It can happen. You go too smooth for too long and God ain't saying nothing, you figure I must be doing good. He ain't knocked me down a peg. Well, you can slip on over into big me, little g. It can happen. It can happen. So it's important for us to understand that it happened to the Israelites. They were doing the religion. Remember now, most of the time they were getting beat up about serving other gods and slipping into idol worship and all this old stuff, right? And desecrating the temple. No, they were on fleek. Got to have a little hip coolness in there. But God was not happy, because they had gotten it twisted by their actions, by their actual doing what looked like right. They were lowering him in their hearts and their minds, even though they were technically doing what they were supposed to do. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. I don't know. This might be too dry for some of you all, but this is heavy, heavy, heavy stuff. So the serious Christians like this. The serious Christians want this. Serious Christians got to have this. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. He says, look, in case you aren't clear, all this belongs to me. So let me just make that clear. You ain't giving me nothing that already don't belong to me, so don't get it twisted. But just by the way, just that you didn't got thinking I need you and I need your sacrifices. Look, if I were hungry, I'm not saying I am. I'm not saying I'm like you and I get hungry, but if I were to be hungry, guess what? I wouldn't tell you. Well, this is God talking, big G God. If I were hungry, I wouldn't tell you. Because I don't need you to feed me. So let's say I was hungry. I can kill my own animal just like I killed an animal and covered up your shame in the garden. I can kill an animal for myself, and I can cook for myself. Man, I created everything there is needed for fire. I created the wood. I created the lightning. That's all I need to start a fire. If I want to do it that way, I could do it even easier. But I got everything I need. I don't need you to feed me. So I wouldn't ask you why, because I don't need you to feed me. And I wouldn't ask you because why would I ask you for something when it's all mine anyway? So God is telling them, I need you to understand that you've gotten it twisted. You think I need you. And when you think somebody needs you, did you know your attitude can get a little different? Mm-hmm. Yeah, you start thinking a little different about what you give to people, right? First, you enjoy being needed. Initially, it might bond the relationship, but after a while, we can get some kind of attitude and make the other person feel some kind of way, can't we? Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. So now to complete his point, let's switch on over a little bit and go to verses 21 and 22. I'm making good time. I'm going to let you all go and do whatever it is you want to do. Go take another nap if you're sleepy. Get ready for the Super Bowl if that's what you need to do. He says in verses 21 and 22, these things. Now, let me be clear on what these things are. After he said all the other stuff that I just told you about, I don't need you. He began to tell them all the wrong things that they do, treating their brother wrong, being deceptive, lying on folk. Essentially the Ten Commandments. You could just adultery. So you're doing all the religious stuff. But when you leave the altar, what are you doing? Because you think you done dotted all the I's and crossed all the T's. You good. But you didn't got it twisted in thinking. I tell you, obedience is better than sacrifice. But a little G God cares more about the sacrifice. You've been doing this all so long that you've actually forgotten me. So he says, these things hast thou done, and I kept silence. Thou thoughtest, that I was altogether such as one as thyself. You thought that I was like you. You got to the point. Here's the thing. You can do religion for so long that you start doing this, and he just becomes your friend. And he just becomes your vending machine. And he just becomes your butler and your maid to clean up your messes. That's what he becomes. That can happen. He says, but I will reprove thee. We know what reprove is, right? Okay. And set them in order before my eyes. I'm going to straighten you out. Now consider this. Read that for me.
Now consider this, ye that forget God, lest I tear you in pieces, and there be none to deliver.
Does it sound like he's upset? So he says, I kept silent, and you did all these things, and you thought, basically, as because of my silence, I guess, that I had become like you. But I'm going to set you straight. You've forgotten who's the creator and who's the created. You were created in my image, not the other way around. You fell from grace, not me. You can forget. You can start to belittle God, not even knowing it. Doing your religion so well, you can start to make your big G God into a little G God in your mind. Understand, he hasn't changed from being God. He's still El Elohim Yahweh, but he cares about who he is in your life. He cares about what he is in my life. He cares about what he is in your mind and in your heart. He's never changed. He is God Almighty. He is the self-existent one. But you and I can make him in our lives into a little G God, and it matters to him. It matters. Are you with me?
Amen.
So it's a terrible thing. It says here that you forgot God. You ever forget God? I'll tell you the times you forget God. It's the times that you think you're doing good and he hasn't said anything. So you get so caught up in your stuff. You get so caught up in doing so well. You get so caught up in the religion. You get so caught up in how big and how great and how holy you are. You can forget God because he starts coming down a rung. Amen?
Amen.
So he says, I'm going to, there's some serious words. Now consider this. Think about what I'm telling you. Ye that forget God. That's a big deal. That's a big accusation. Lest I what? Tear you in pieces. Wow. You can start to feel that way about your children sometimes. All this newfangled stuff where, you know, you think your children is just the God's gift to America. You can't touch nobody. You can't be mad at them. You can't yell at them. Ooh, because they're going to turn out. Nature versus nurture. Oh, my God, I had a, you know, they're going to go kill somebody or kill themselves all because I said a rough word to them. So this is El Elohim Yahweh, right? Okay, did he not say, watch out because if you don't get it straight, I'm going to what? Tear you into pieces and there will be nobody to save you. But when God cares about his people, sometimes he sounds like he cares about his people. And his coming after them like that is not because he hates them. It's because he loves them. But once you decide, there's a verse, we didn't cover it, But he's basically said, you take my concepts and my precepts and you just throw them away. You throw them behind you out of disrespect. So I'm going to tear you up is what my mother used to say. Of course, she had other words that she used. So forgetting God, forgetting who he is, not forgetting that he exists. But that's the point he's saying here is they didn't forget that there was a God. They forgot who God was. Amen?
Amen.
He wasn't just somebody that called on a routine. And they lowered the big G God. So what's God upset about? He's upset about them lowering him from a big G God that he is to a little G God. Do you know we have that kind of power for him to become that in our lives? And therefore, our relationship with him, our worship with him, is that of a little G God. And so finally, we'll wrap it up by going backwards. We're going to backtrack back to verses 14 and 15. Because what we've learned here so far is what God does not want and what he's upset about. But he does tell us what he indeed does want and what he would be pleased with. So verses 14 and 15, if you will, read with me. Offer unto God thanksgiving and pay thy vows unto the Most High. Keep reading.
And call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me.
Amen. So he's told you what he does not like. He doesn't like the fact that you've been all religious, you're dotting all the I's, crossing all the T's, you feel good because I haven't said anything, but now I'm speaking up. My silence is ending. I am not happy. I'm not upset about your religion. I'm upset about your life. I'm not upset about your religion. I'm upset about the relationship. I'm not upset about your religion because you claim me as God. You know I am a God, but I'm not feeling a whole lot like your God. I belong to you and you belong to me, but you're not acting like it. You can liken this unto a marriage relationship. Oh, you dotting all the I's and crossing all the T's, but I'm really not feeling very special. I'm really not feeling like you've been hearing me. I feel like I'm technically your wife or your husband, but I feel like you're going through the motions. I don't feel the passion like I used to. I know when the day comes, you check off the box because you don't want to look bad, but I'm not feeling special. I think you've forgotten me. I'm just a placeholder, wife, husband, boss, employee, whatever. He's saying, I want more than that. He's saying, I deserve more than that. So offer unto God thanksgiving. So you know how we worship him, right? Not because of what he's done and all that. No, you got to get that done. Not just because of what he's done. Because guess what? Because I love you, that's not offering. He wants to be thanked. He wants us to be grateful for what he's done. So he wants us. What does he say? What I'm looking for, you giving me all of this religion. Offer unto God thanksgiving. And pay thy vows unto the Most High. And when you do that, when you worship God based on relationship, when you worship God as the big G, El Elohim Yahweh, and offer up praise and thanksgiving, when you can tell God, when you can get hoarse going on and on about what he's been in your life, what he's meant to you, let me just tell you, that smells real good in his nostrils. Oh, you can go to church and sit on the front pew and you can be in all the auxiliaries and you can claim God. But when you can go on and on and on. So imagine, I'm not just buying you a car, dear, because everybody does that. I'm not just going to get you flowers off the freeway so I don't get trouble when I get home. But I'm going to come home and tell you all the reasons why you're my Valentine. Not a Valentine, because it's Valentine. No, why you are my Valentine and why I am your Valentine.
Amen.
This is what God is looking for.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen?
Offering praise from the heart. That's what makes God happy. And he says, when you do that, oh, man, I want you to call me. I can't wait for you to have a problem. Just like a man, he's dating somebody. Oh, I can't wait for her. Well, when she needs me, I can be that big, strong man. I can go out of my way for her and prove to her she's special. Can't wait. She needs a tire change. Woo, here I come. 3 years into marriage. Oh, man, I got to fix this tire. Well, you need me to do that light bulb? You can't get there, baby? I got it. 3 years into the marriage. Oh, you can forget who you're with. You can forget the real nature of the relationship, and you can get into duty. Oh, and checking the boxes. Oh, I showed up on time, early, doing what I'm supposed to do, but you really, the relationship is not there. You've forgotten me. And what happens there, by the way, is you check all them boxes. Let me tell you what happens when you do all that duty stuff. You start to stray when you're not around them. Mm-hmm. You just come correct when you think you're in front of them. So all of this, people of God, advanced Christians, is just to help remind us so we don't get it twisted, because the more advanced you get, the more risk you have of forgetting God. You get so smart, you know all his word, you know where he's coming from, you start understanding the Bible just when you glance at it, you know how to pay attention for a minute, bam, I got that. You can start to forget God. You can get too good for your own good. So we're understanding just a little bit more about our God. Do you not? Now you know a little bit more about what he cares about? Amen. Amen. And so this is what God is teaching us in the advanced class. If you're going to be advanced, you got to know how to be advanced and not get it twisted and not forget who our God is and what he cares about most. When you know somebody, when you have experience with them, you know not just what they said technically, you know more likely what they meant. That's how you can actually give benefit of the doubt. Oh, I know, he kind of said it that I know what he meant. I know what she meant. That comes from experience, yada. I didn't hear that she was a certain way. I know, yada, from experience. That kind of relationship is very different. I know what she cares about and doesn't. Doesn't mean I'm perfect at doing or not doing, but I know. Sometimes that gets you in trouble. I know you know. You know what I want. Woo! Let's give the Lord a hand praise.